Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, I can already tell you are particularly excited about the conversation we're about to have.
I am, Luann. This is an exciting day for me.
I thought it might be.
I think it's the first time I've gotten to do this. Two of the most important people in my life, certainly two of the most influential people in my life, are in the studio today. One of them is, of course, my dad. And the other is Dr. Joe White of Kanakut Camps.
Mm. Joe White is one of our favorite people on the face of the earth. He has made such an impact on you, Ryan, and on our family.
That's right.
We've been friends forever. And I think we've done about 20 radio programs together through the years. And it is such a pleasure to have you back.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I've tried to describe to you before what your radio shows have meant to my family, but particularly, you know, through the years at Kanakut, just your voice appreciating what, you know, the camp has meant to Ryan and the thousands of kids that, you know, that come there from around the world. But just to my life, I mean, my favorite days, and Jim, I promise you, my favorite days of my life outside of just, you know, my family days have been in the studio with you. Every time we're together, it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit just fills this studio. And, you know, and God just, you can just feel God reaching out and touching people's hearts and healing hurts. And I just, it's a special, special place to be with you.
Well, that is so meaningful to me. Do you remember the first time you came?
I remember it well. I was scared to death.
Dr. Trevor Mabry brought you to me. He kept talking about Joe White. He's just would not shut up about you. And finally, the two of you came. And Dr. Mabry, of course, went on to be with the Lord, was killed in a plane accident. But he was with us that day. And you brought about 50 sheets of paper. I mean, you were determined to be prepared. You had it all over the place. And, of course, you never had time to find anything and didn't need it because we had so much to talk about.
Yeah, we were talking about high school kids, and, you know, that's my life, working with kids, especially high school kids. And I had dozens and dozens of letters from kids that were explaining the heart of our nation's kids. And they were all over the studio. we somehow got it done, though.
Now, we haven't said that you are the president of the Kanakut Camps in Branson, Missouri. And, Ryan, you came to the camp when you were in your teens.
That's right.
Not as a camper, but as a
counselor.
Coach, counselor.
That's right. Yeah. You know, we've not said on this program, you were trying to get me to go to two camps.
Yes.
Summit Ministries and Kanakut. And I put my foot down. I said I was not going to either of these places. You forced me to go to Summit. I got too old to be a camper at Kanakut. But my time there as a counselor was literally life-changing, almost as much, if not equal, to my time at Summit.
Now, the moral to that story is listen to your dad.
I know.
Because I was right about both of those, and those two events that summer changed your life, didn't it?
Oh, in ways I'll never be able to calculate. I do tell people, it's so frustrating having a dad that's right all the time.
Oh, brother.
I just want him to be wrong a couple of times. Just be like, Ryan, you were right, I was wrong. But we never get to hear that.
Joe, you must have influenced and brought to the Lord tens of thousands of kids and influenced their families through the years. I mean, it's amazing what your camps have done.
Well, you know, to God be the glory. His hand of blessing has been there now for 87 years, if you can imagine that.
So your dad started it.
Well, actually, there was a gentleman, you know, in the 1920s that started it. And then another gentleman ran it for 20 years. And then my dad ran it for 20 years. And then in the mid-70s, my little bride and I, you know, got the saddle there.
Debbie
and
Jo.
We've been, yeah, my Debbie Jo. She's the greatest.
You've got four kids.
Four kids, 11 grandkids, two adopted, nine biological.
Well, you're looking good.
Thank you.
I know you had some health challenges like I have, and yet the Lord is blessing you, and you're still on the firing line, aren't you?
Yes, sir. And in fact, you know, there's three ages. You know, you're young, and then you're grown, and then you're looking good. So I've reached that age, Jim, and thank you for that. And you're looking good, too.
You are now traveling and speaking on behalf of marriage. Mm. How did you make the transition from teenagers to marriage?
Yeah. Oh, Jim, you know, after being married 39 years to my hero, you know, my Debbie Jo's my hero. She's my homecoming queen. She's still my cheerleader. You know, she cheered for my college football team at SMU in Dallas. And, yeah. And now I get to cheer for her for the rest of our lives. Mm. And you know what? I'm still on the learning curve. I'm still fascinated by this partnership in marriage. In Ephesians 5, when Paul talks about the two shall become one flesh, he said, this mystery's great. And I was thinking about that on the plane. You know, all of us that are married, it's a great mystery. But just working with couples around the country and counseling couples and seeing the difference in a cross-centered marriage. You know, yeah. People talk about the divorce rate, you know, 50-51%, and even Christian marriages probably not that far behind. But cross-centered marriages, where couples literally erect the cross of Christ in the middle of that bond, and they begin to live out with each other intentionally what Christ did for us on the cross. Jim, the percentages of the marriages, you know, that I've been able to do, met at camp, that are still happily married and happily in love is almost 100%.
Yeah. Mm. Don't get the idea that marriage is passé. No. I mean, it is still the most vibrant institution given to us.
Yes.
And my sweet wife, Shirley, we just celebrated our 51st. Wow. And I promise you this. I'm not making this up. In the last 24 hours, she's told me she loved me 4 times. That's not bad after 51 years, is it?
That's awesome. And you know what? That word of affirmation we're going to be talking about today, that's bigger to a husband or to a wife from the spouse than we can ever measure.
Mm. I don't think people understand what a great marriage looks like. I think that's one of the reasons for the divorce rate or the low marriage rate. Mm. The Atlantic magazine not too long ago had a picture of a woman on the cover with the headline, "What? Me marry?" with a question mark, saying that marriage is going away. People aren't getting married anymore. Mm. And it's because they don't know the ideal. They don't know what an amazing partnership, institution, relationship that can be. Mm.
They've been banging away at marriage the whole way. Mm. Luann, you and Steve have been married 25 years.
27.
Mm. Is it going to work?
I think so, Dr. Ives. We're going for 100. That's for sure.
I'm barely into my 6th year.
Jim, let me tell you about a couple that were married for 66 years. My mom and dad went through World War II together. They lost their first child shortly after that child was born. They have had probably every hardship, you know, that any couple has ever imagined. But they set their eyes on the finish line. Hmm. And that couple committed themselves to literally die in each other's arms, no matter what. And my dear father, and he was a man's man, let me tell you, he taught hand-to-hand combat in World War II. But my dad, every morning, would write my mom a love note. And I'm talking every morning. You know, a little pad of yellow stickies can change your marriage.
Yes.
I mean, literally, one little 3M pad, because every morning he just, little love note to Darnell. That was my mom's name. And he'd stick it on her desk and turn on the heat in her little office at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then he would go about his day. And when he would come home, that dear woman would devote herself to him, to love him, to serve him, as he devoted himself to love her and serve her. Well, just before he died, just maybe 3 or 4 years before he died, he went down in front of my mom's office. And there's two trees, an elm tree and a box elder tree, that were planted side by side probably 70 or 80 years ago. But these two trees had grown up around each other. And even though there were two different species, they had become one tree. And he nailed a sign on one of those trees that said Spike. That's his name. And he nailed a little sign on the other tree that said Darnell. Mm-hmm. And when I say Darnell, I think about how affectionate he was towards that woman. I never heard my daddy ever criticize my mom, ever.
Come on.
And so these two old trees had literally become one. Well, when daddy died, he reached the finish line. He couldn't talk the last few weeks of his life, but he could still write love letters. And he would sit there in that old chair that he was, you know, literally dying in, going to heaven in, and he would write Mom love letters. And when he died, Mom was right on his right arm. His left arm had been paralyzed for weeks because of a stroke. And Mom's on his right side, just patting that arm that she'd been loving and nurturing for 66 years. And when Daddy goes home to be with the Lord, true story, you can ask my mom, he reaches over with his left hand, the hand that hadn't been operational in weeks, and he took her hand and he raised it over his head with both hands. And even though he couldn't talk, I know that man was saying to Jesus, "You could take me home, but not without her."
Daddy died. That brings tears to my eyes.
Jim, they did it right. And when he died, that tree that had his name on it died. And today, Mom is still alive at age 94. Her tree is still alive, but the spike tree died next to its side.
Is that right?
Now, if that's passé, ladies and gentlemen, if that is going out of style, then I don't want to be in style. How about y'all?
What are people saying to you about their marriages as you travel the country and you show them how to have stronger bonded relationships? What are you hearing? Are people discouraged? Do they understand what we're talking about here? What's going on out there?
I think, Jim, they would say it is the most challenging thing to do well in their life, especially with the assault from Hollywood, the assault from Washington, D.C., the assault from pornography that's walking up and down every sidewalk, you know, in the world and down the malls. You know, couples would say to have a great marriage, it's the most challenging thing in the world. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, Ryan, you can relate to this. They said, "How do you stay humble?" And I said, "Get married."
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, what else?" And I go, "Nothing. That's all you need.
Marry the right person. You can stay humble." That's right.
But it's challenging. And yet, Jim, I'm seeing people working at their marriages thanks to your friend and mine, Dr. Gary Smalley and Dr. Gary Rosberg and the other, you know, experts around the country who are doing a great job.
And they're speaking with you. I think yes. Ted Cunningham?
Yes.
Also?
Yes.
And so you guys come in as a team.
Yes.
And you begin talking about principles that make marriage work.
Yes. Our conference is called Passionate Love, and it's a daring title because people think of passionate love being the whole, you know, physical, sexual side of love, and that is certainly a great part of marriage. But passionate love is taking the passion of the cross, the passion of sacrifice, you know, taking the exact same style of commitment. I'm ready to die for you, and I'm ready to die to myself daily for you, and putting that kind of passionate love in the middle of a marriage.
Now, you've referred to it twice. You're going to have to explain it. Cross-centered marriage. Explain exactly what you mean by that.
Well, Jim, years ago in my young life days, and oh boy, you know, working with kids never, ever gets old, but I was a young life leader for years. And we did this crazy presentation where I took the part of a Roman cross builder and built this cross from the viewpoint of the one who carved it out of wood. And crazy, so many kids started coming to Christ. Well, then, you know, the Promise Keeper group, you know, sort of picked me up as a hitchhiker. And I did 86, you know, conferences for Coach and Promise Keepers and saw literally a couple of hundred thousand men come to Christ with this old cross builder message. And then we developed a men's ministry called Men at the Cross, where we continue to build the cross. But then we were invited to do this in a marriage conference. And Jim, I had no idea what was about to happen. About 800 couples came up to that cross holding hands, weeping. Something about the cross broke all these old bonds of guilt, of shame, of blame, of childhood issues that couples were still holding against each other. And so we started erecting this cross in these marriage conferences. And now, instead of having a standard for our marriage that might be one of the great books that are out there, the new standard is the cross of Christ, nothing less. When he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that's my message to my wife, and that's her message to me. Jesus has nothing against me after what he did on the cross. And as a husband, I should have nothing against her or she to me.
I saw you give that presentation I saw you come down the middle aisle carrying that big, heavy cross. There's not a lot of oxygen here in Colorado Springs, but I'm telling you, people were moved by it. And when you say people came to Christ having watched that, explain what you mean by erecting the cross.
Well, this Roman woodcutter, I just take the role of an old Roman woodcutter, and he has a double-bladed axe and a sledgehammer and 12-inch spikes and a 14-foot tree. And he literally builds that cross. And I don't do drama, but there's something about the cross. You know, those great hymns, the power of the cross. And when I survey the wondrous cross, and I'll probably say it 10 times in this broadcast, but when that becomes the heart of the marriage, when I come home from work and there's a cross in front of my house as a husband, and I hang everything from my day, whatever happened in that day, on that cross, so I can come home as a husband, as a father, and the cross has taken my pain. The cross has taken my load. Now I'm free to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And then when the cross is in the middle of my home, and again, I need this standard as bad as any man in the world because I am really a selfish person. But to hear the words of Christ crying out on that cross, John, take care of Mom. Mom, take care of John. You know, the nurturing voice of Jesus on that cross, Jim, and it just says, Joe, nurture Debbie Joe. Cherish Debbie Joe. Treat her the same way Jesus treats you when he's dying on the cross for you.
Joe, we're talking to a lot of people right now for whom that message resonates.
That's right.
They long for it. Yes. They want it. Yes. That's what I want in my marriage.
Yes.
That's what I want my relationship with my husband or wife. And they have no idea where to start. Tell them what to do.
You know, Jim, the great thing about the cross is the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And you've heard my story, Jim. I played ball at SMU, and I was so full of myself. It was a glamorous life. We were traveling all over the country playing, and I was a married guy in college. And then we graduated. I went to coach football at Texas A&M, and my little bride walked out the door to marry my best friend, and I died over the next 4 months, and so I started as a failure. I didn't start at ground zero. I started below the ground 6 feet. I was a dead man. When God allowed me to meet Debbie Joe, and I know God hates divorce, but a lot of us started off with a gigantic wound on our heart. Mm-hmm. And Jim, I was one of them. But the cross came crashing into my life, and the forgiving, graceful hands of God wrapped around my broken heart. And he said, Joe, I'm not done with you. And then he brings this amazing woman into my life. And so we started at the cross. And that's where any person today can begin a new journey in the marriage that they're in
today. And you started with Scripture. You have made a lifelong passion of Scripture, haven't you? I want to tell Ryan and Luann something here that they may not know. I don't think even Ryan knows it. But you came to do a radio program with me. 20 years ago, could it be? And you came in and I said, Joe, we're going to get together as a what we called a cabinet, the vice presidents. We have devotions in the morning. Would you come bring a devotional thought to us? And you walked in there and you didn't have any shoes on. And you had a kind of a fake chain around your feet and around your arms, and you sat down, and you were the Apostle Paul, and you began quoting the entire book of Philippians.
Yes, sir.
And you quoted the entire book there, and we were all in tears. I am now just thinking about it, and brought us to the Scripture. You made a habit of committing to memory, and not only for yourself but for your family, for your kids, huge chunks of Scripture, because that's really the key. That's where the cross is understood.
Yes. And Jim, if I could just put my arms around every listener now, every wife and every husband who, especially if you're bruised, especially if you feel hopeless. The last time I was in the studio with you, while we were doing the broadcast together, my dear friend, Payne Stewart, was in an airplane that had gone awry. And his airplane was flying with one of the greatest golfers who ever lived, who had perished, you know, minutes before. And
was that on the day you were
yes,
there?
Yes, sir. It was happening while we were in the studio. And, you know, I love that man and his precious wife, Tracy, and his son Aaron, his daughter Chelsea, were Kanakuk kids. In fact, it was after an experience at Kanakuk that the two kids came home and led Payne to Christ because they'd met Christ at Kanakuk. They went home and led their daddy. Well, Jim, I went to see Tracy after Payne's, you know, horrible accident. And I thought I was going to be there to comfort her, but I had no idea what was going to happen to me. Payne's business partner was named Robert Fraley. And his bride, Dixie, was Tracy's friend. And when I went to see Tracy, Dixie was there. And I said, Dixie, tell me about Robert. I didn't know Dixie, and I didn't know Robert. And she said, he was the most wonderful man you've ever met. They didn't have children. And he poured his life into Dixie. And I said, what did he do? And she said, Joe, every night, Robert would he'd read Scripture to me. Or he would read a J.I. Packer book to me or an A.W. Tozier book to me. And she said, he would nurture me before bed spiritually. Well, I wasn't doing that with Debbie Joe. I'm laying by my kids every night, tucking them in, memorizing Scripture with the kids, praying for the kids. And it was the richest thing I did as a dad. But I wasn't nurturing her spiritually. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader. And I got to admit, I'm a little intimidated by Debbie Jo. You know, she's the Pope to me. You know, she is like the godliest person I've ever met. But I purposed to, you know, I'm going to do that with her. So we started with the Psalms. And without really any comment or any, yeah, I just would read a chapter to her at night. We're still doing it. It's been years. And then I would take her hand and simply say, Debbie Jo, how can I pray for you? And this dear lady, just as the years have gone by, in fact, last night I was reading in the Psalms again. We've read through it many times, and we read other books in the Bible. But she was just right over there laying by my side with her head on my shoulder as I read, you know, one more chapter of the Bible to her. It has become literally the bond of a older marriage that's now in our autumn years. Because I think a woman's spiritual heart is the hungriest part of a woman's heart. Mm-hmm. And most women have never had a dad or a husband who's really cared for their spiritual heart.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I can't believe our time is gone. You are such a blessing to me.
Oh.
I love having you here and talking about marriage. You got 30 seconds. How can people find the conferences that you guys are putting on?
Well, Passionate Love conferences are becoming kind of all over the nation, but our website is menatthecross.org, menatthecross.org, because the marriage conferences have grown out of our men's conferences, and so now men can bring their wives to the conferences.
And how can people send their kids to Kanakuk?
Mm. Well, it's a funny name. It means the loved one. It's an Indian name of history, but it's KANAKUK.com, Kanakuk.com.
Well, Joe, we'll make sure those links are prominently displayed on our broadcast page at familytalk.org as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we're going to hold you here because we want to do a program on parenting because you care about that too. And we'll do that next time. Thank you for being with us today.
And thank you, Jim.
And we'll all be looking forward to more time with you tomorrow, Joe. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Ryan, as you said, we will have links to a couple of things, the Passionate Love Marriage Conference as well as Kanakuk Camps, at familytalk.org.
We will. Wouldn't it be great to see those camps filled with kids mm-hmm. and those conferences filled with couples, Luann? Mm-hmm. It'd be neat just to bring the Lord back into family lives, and that is exactly why we're here at Family Talk.
Well, we keep saying it, but it's core to our mission, mm-hmm. Ryan. And there are so many more resources here at familytalk.org oh, yeah. that can help listeners draw themselves and their family closer to Christ. I think of our new 3-CD broadcast collection called Living with Purpose. Mm-hmm. Those would be great programs to listen to along with your kids.
Or great for long drives.
Yes.
I get a ton of my listening done when
great
I'm driving.
Idea.
But there is so much more stuff at familytalk.org. There's articles, books, broadcasts, mm-hmm. all designed to strengthen your walk with God and your relationship with your family. Again, familytalk.org.
Or if you prefer to call us for any of those resources, maybe even partner with Family Talk financially in our work of helping families, mm-hmm. give us a call. The number, 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825.
Thanks for spending time with us today, and make sure to be back with us tomorrow when we'll talk about parenting with Dr. Joe White on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.